we have a roll call, please?
Laura Hine. Bill Goggins.
Here.
John Kapler. Kathleen McMonagle.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. Okay, we have no minutes to read or approve. Agenda for tonight consists of council member reports, comments, work program review. Don't have any requests from the audience, obviously. And then a study session on the Shoreline Master Program. Do we have any council member reports or comment? Oh, wait, I missed the back page. Administrative reports and community council discussion. I'm not sure that nothing here where. Okay. Any council member reports or comments?
They had another ivy pole at the watershed park, and they've done a really nice job with the trails. And, you
know. Okay.
And they had about 20 people there last this time and more the time before, but they've done a really nice job and been really responsive. The parks department for getting in the restroom and repairing the trails. It's been really nice.
Cool.
I understand they do amazing progress. They just, I mean,
it's incredible.
It is, yeah. So, congratulations to everybody that does that. It's really a nice thing.
Anybody else have any? How about a report on the 4th of July parade and the Houghton Community Council or the Central Houghton Community Association?
The theme of the parade this year was Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association's float was a giant box of Cracker Jacks and giant bags of peanuts, and we had children dressed up as little peanuts and ball players. And
who was the Cracker Jack?
I was Cracker Jack. And then we had a guy dressed up as this prize inside the box, and we had people selling concessions wearing beanie copters, and we had a sound system playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and it was, I think it looked really fabulous.
And did we win?
We don't know.
Hmm?
They haven't notified. They often takes them a month or so to notify. I don't know why. Probably all the money that has to change.
In the Rose Parade, they know before the parade even starts.
They probably know this way before the parade even starts.
Is there some payola involved? Or?
Could be.
Okay.
But I thought it was really fun and it was really well received. So.
Okay. Any other reports or comments?
Well, the Neighborhood Association is going to, I think, work with the city to help sponsor the grand opening, the ribbon cutting of the Caroline Woods Park, but I think that'll happen in September.
Oh, cool.
Because we were going to have our Neighborhood Association was going to have its own opening, and then found out the city was going to do a formal one, so yeah. We'll partner with them to do that.
Can't say we're not team players, huh?
That's right. Hope Down, Labor Day.
Yeah.
See you there.
Okay. And let the record show that Laura Hine has made it here to the meeting. Not too far behind the chair.
Since I wasn't expecting to be able to be here
today, yeah,
until a couple of hours ago when my other meeting wound up getting canceled.
Oh, good.
This is a bonus.
Be here.
Yeah, I really didn't expect you to be here tonight.
Neither did I.
Do we have any work program review to discuss?
Yeah, I might mention a couple of things. The city council is actually taking action on the work program tomorrow night, and it took a while to get there because of a number of issues that came up in the last couple months with some private amendment requests, and we wanted to wait to find out how we're going to process those. And for the most part, I think you've seen the work program before. We gave a report to you about 2 months ago, I believe.
Right.
And I think I mentioned the one thing we're recommending is that we take the Lakeview neighborhood first and then do Central Houghton. So we're actually probably ready to start the Lakeview Neighborhood Plan next month. So we'll be starting to put together a work program and a scope and come before you and the Planning Commission to determine how that's going to play out, the schedule, how do we set up community involvement and so forth. So we're primed and ready to go fairly soon on that. And there's a couple of private amendment requests that are in Houghton. I think I mentioned those before, too. One is down at the Plaza at Yarrow Bay, where they want to expand the number of uses to allow perhaps a restaurant or a bank, and we're recommending that not be a private amendment request this year, but part of the neighborhood plan for Lakeview. And I think the Planning Commission also made the same recommendation. Another private amendment request is on the west side of 116th Avenue, south of Northeast 70th. You know where there's an office building right there on the west side, south of the, well, on the west side of the street, kind of southwest of the park and ride lot. There's a number of properties that this one person is interested in requesting a change to higher density or for mini warehouse type or storage facility. And staff recommended that be deferred until the Bridal Trails Neighborhood Plan, which is about 3 or 4 years down the road, and the Planning Commission agreed with staff on that recommendation, and the council will take action on that tomorrow night. So,
what's on that property right now?
Single family, a couple of vacant parcels, but mostly a single family.
Wasn't that originally zoned something else, seems to me?
I don't think so. The office project was zoned something else, and we changed that several years ago. But on the west side of 116th, it's been primarily a single family right next to the freeway for quite a while.
I probably got both of them confused.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's got horse farms.
Yeah, that's right. It's north of the horse farm area. Mm-hmm. Right. So, other than that, everything else is pretty much the same. We think the comp plan update will probably occur in terms of adoption, sometime in 2008. We thought we could finish it by 2007, but given this latest request by Park Place to redevelop that property, it's going to take a lot longer to process that, and we would review that as part of the private amendment request and the comp plan update concurrently, and we're looking at probably the first quarter of 2008 for that to take place.
Okay.
Anyway, that's where we are, and we'll be back pretty soon with the neighborhood plan schedule.
Okay. On the neighborhood plan, you guys, I remember us talking about maybe modeling what our process is after what was done in North Rose Hill, and I don't know how much initiative the North Rose Hill Association took prior to staff's, getting their own program going. Can you kind of give us a little input on how that...
Yeah, in that case, we actually created a citizens advisory committee. So there was a lot of startup time to try to educate a new group of people with that group.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're thinking, it took a lot longer, but there's pros and cons of that method, and we're trying to explore that to see how it might work a little quicker, because that took quite a bit of time to get through that. So what we're thinking of perhaps is maybe doing a kind of a scoping session first, and kind of outlining some of the background and history and land use and so forth, and then maybe having a series of focus groups or an advisory group that might focus on some key topics, and then coming back before the Planning Commission and you. But what we may want to think about is having a couple of members from the community council as part of those groups, so the mm-hmm. advisory committee, however we structure it. So those are the type of things we'll talk about when we come back before you. So,
okay.
Yeah, there's different ways to look at it, and how best to get people aware and engaged but not take forever to do it is kind of the challenge.
Yeah. Okay. All I know is that Mary Alice Burleigh said that she thought that the process in North Rose Hill worked real well, although
right.
maybe
yeah.
it took long, but she really liked the way it worked
yeah.
out. So,
well.
Okay. So we have no audience to make requests, so we'll go straight into our study session with Patrice.
There we go. Is that better?
Yeah.
That's better.
I didn't do a PowerPoint presentation. I thought we could just talk about the basics of the Shoreline Master Program, what to expect, see if you have any questions on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to introduce Amy Myers from the Watershed Company, who have been our technical consultants so far, and we plan for them to help us finish out the work on this. And Amy and I will just kind of take you through the products that have been produced so far so you can feel familiar with the basics of those. And that's what I have planned. So if you'd like, I can stand there or I can sit here.
I think you're fine right where you're
okay.
at.
Great.
Just pull the mic a little closer to you.
Sure. Is this better?
That's better, yes.
Okay. So your packet included, I think attachment one was a brief history of what is the Shoreline Management Act and what is the Shoreline Master Program and how do they relate and so forth.
And so you've had a chance to look at that. I can answer questions about that if you have them, or I can try. But I thought I would just add that in the grand scheme of things, this is a large undertaking that we'll be doing. The new guidelines for these shoreline master programs that came out from the state a few years back have a number of completely new requirements that we wouldn't have seen previously in our shoreline master program that we adopted in the early 70s. So this will be basically a complete rewrite, and with new elements to it that we haven't done before. And so it's a long-term, long-range planning project we'll be working on.
Are you able to knock off what's being done by other cities?
Surely each city doesn't have to do this.
Instead of everybody recreating the wheel themselves?
Exactly, because everyone in King County right now, and actually all the counties in Puget Sound and all the cities, are working on the same thing. And I'm meeting quarterly with them, as well as the state and the federal agencies. We're all getting together for these quarterly coordination meetings where we're sharing what we're learning and trying to learn from what the first wave of folks who have been working on these things have been doing. The first wave started about 5 or 6 years ago, and there are a few now that I think have been approved, but this has been a long time coming, so we're hoping to create new efficiencies by looking at what's past muster with the
right.
Department of Ecology, which ultimately has to approve what we do.
I might add, we're the second rounders, and there's people behind us too that, for example, Bellevue, they've started those, but we're ahead of them. So in some ways, people will be looking at us as well to see how we do it as a model, and we're looking at other people. So it's kind of sometimes learn as you go to some degree, but it'll be a little tricky, but as we get more experience, we'll do better at it.
How has it been determined which cities go first, or is it just who takes the initiative?
I think do you want to answer that, the first rounders?
Well, they had a grant opportunity, for one, and that was probably the big impetus for people mm-hmm. to apply and get some assistance. I think that was that probably the major reason for that?
Yes, I think, and some of the larger jurisdictions, they got some of the largest counties going first, and a few of the cities, is that right? And we were the second wave of folks who applied for grants. I wasn't quite sure Kirkland was ready, but I had heard enough people say that there won't be enough money for the third wave that I thought, we better ride the second wave as well as we can.
Okay.
So, anyway.
All right.
Okay. I guess some examples of the new state requirements that weren't around for the 1970s version. The first one that comes to mind is that new development and redevelopment is we need to write a shoreline master program that ensures that when new things happen along the shoreline, there will be no net loss of the shoreline functions, the ecological type functions that we have there now. Now, most of our shoreline has been developed and we have bulkheads along most of it, but we do have good habitat in Yarrow Bay and in Juanita Bay. So those are examples of places where we would not want to lose ground there as things change, continue to change. And you might wonder, well, what do we measure no net loss from? And the answer is in front of you. It's in this final analysis report that has been placed at your places tonight, and that's your copy of that. And that is the inventory and analysis and shoreline characterization that the Watershed Company has been working on for some time, and it has been submitted to the Department of Ecology, and they have given it their preliminary blessing, which is as much as we can hope for at this stage. So that was completed at the end of last year. And it's a key document that we're going to spend a little bit of time tonight just giving you the basics on, because another requirement is that all of the new policies and goals and regulations that we do for our new Shoreline Master Program need to come out of what was found in this analysis. That we can't just write those and then There needs to be a clear connection between what was found in the analysis, is what is out there now, what are the opportunities, what are the threats and everything, and kind of work with that. Okay. So that's an important document. And let's see, I guess page 2 in your packet was this kind of detailed chart about what's been done so far and what is yet to come. Much is yet to come, but besides securing the grant from Ecology, then the next things to happen was the Watershed Company went out and used pretty technical language from the Shoreline Management, Management Act that defined what the extent of the jurisdiction of the Shoreline Master Program should be, because it doesn't apply citywide. For the most part, it applies 200 feet inward from what you'd think of as the water's edge. And the exceptions are that associated wetland systems also are included in it. So if you look at the maps in the inventory, you'll see that that band of 200 feet along our water's edge along Lake Washington goes inward for some amount in Forbes Valley and then down in Yarrow Bay with those associated wetland systems. So that was a first step, and then the Watershed Company went through the process of actually doing the work to write what you see in front of you. Some of it was more policy-oriented that Paul and I worked on, but for the most part it was technical work. And Amy's going to tell us a little bit more about that in a moment, but I'll just finish kind of running through what's been done so far. You might remember, most of you might remember, that a little over a year ago I came to you with a public participation plan, which is, I think, attachment 3 to this memo. And you folks had some comments on it, and as did the Planning Commission and the City Council, and those were folded in, and then it was blessed by Ecology. And then in keeping with that, we conducted some major public outreach efforts last September of 2006. We had a couple of public forums and a public shoreline tour, and a huge publicity blitz at the beginning of September to try to get anyone who might have the faintest interest in this project to understand that this is beginning to happen, and that we'd love to have ongoing participation through the whole thing. So we got the word out in a number of ways that I'll detail in another as we go on. I'll let you know all these numbers of ways that we're keeping people informed on this. And the Shoreline Forums, we had a number of speakers come in. Amy was one of them. And the topics were what is involved in the Shoreline Master Program and what might the major issues be and what's the process going to be and how can folks get involved and stay involved and what would the interests of the city be on this and what about the state and how does the city and the state relate in this process. So, and we tried to just pack the slideshow with lots of photos to illustrate all of the issues and the different things that might come up to keep it interesting and fun, but also it's just such a good way to try to show folks. But then the tour that followed up on the forum took people out and showed them on the ground examples along the shoreline on people's property and then one public park where new designs have been used that are more fish friendly. This is one of the main issues that we'll be facing, because the Chinook salmon, which were listed by the federal agency as threatened several years ago, the baby salmon live along the very edge in the very, very most shallow water there in Lake Washington. And so that's their habitat, and we need to pay some attention to that. And because of the listing, there's been a lot of science done on, well, why are they threatened? Why are they decreasing in number? What is the problem here? And some of the problem has been found to be the traditional ways that docks and bulkheads have been constructed. So one of the main topics of the forum was to show folks what new designs have been evolving that would be more fish friendly. Something that's kind of interesting that we learned on the tour was that some of these property owners that have been doing these new designs have found that they really like them for human purposes too. That it, you know, they like the aesthetics, the way it looks. They like the access right down to the water's edge and bring their kayaks up on the beach and walk into the water, and it seems safer to a lot of people for their young children than the drop-off that bulkheads usually are. So interestingly, we'll be delving more into these designs. They won't fit every property. You need to have enough depth and width of the property and the right amount of gradient to make it feasible. But for areas that can use them, then it's something to think about. So that's a lot of what folks saw on the tour is examples of those designs, and also how to preserve steep slope areas on shoreline properties. And besides, well, you'll see more. It'll be good for Amy to give her quick slideshow on how these designs work and the pros and cons. But it was nice on this tour that we also had the owners talking to folks really frankly about the costs and the benefits and overall what they would do differently, if anything, and what the permit process was like. So that was sort of education. Let's see. The grant from Ecology expired on the last day of this past June, and it funded the technical work that went into this report and more, and some of the work that the technical background work that needed to be done for the next steps that we'll be doing. So that was good, and not to worry, the city already has put aside budgeted money for this project as well. So we will be funded through this whole endeavor. And I think that summarizes basically what I was going to cover at the outset, and Amy, maybe you can help us get an overview of the report.
I just want to add one thing to what Chris was saying. This is kind of different than your typical like Growth Management Act approach, whereas the Growth Management Act is more bottoms up. There's a top-down part of this that comes from the Department of Ecology, and they actually have authority to approve our Shoreline Master Program. It has to have certain things in it to comply with the state guidelines and the state law. So we're under somewhat of a constraint. I mean, we know how to work it and meet the guidelines. At the same time, they're going to be looking for certain things, and they have certain requirements that have to be met. So as part of this, we're in close contact with DOE, but at the same time, there is a state viewpoint that they're trying to see accomplished, and they do have the authority to approve and or disapprove our update. But I think we've got a good working relationship. We meet with them constantly. As Patrice said, they're coordinating jurisdictions around this area, and we also have a working group with on Lake Washington. So as we go along, we don't want any surprises, but at the same time, I just want to make you aware that the state does have a much heavier hand in this than they would typically with any other comp plan or a zoning code. And the Shoreline Master Program also includes land use regulations and so forth. And it's a challenge to try to integrate your growth management and your shoreline together. I don't think that we've done a very good job in the statewide to do that yet. It's a struggle to try to make those work together, but we're all facing the same problem. So maybe a little bit of confusion at some point, but we'll get through it and we'll make it work. So
yeah, they want to congregate everybody into the urban growth boundaries, but then
right.
That very act complicates trying to retain the environment in that area. So.
The other thing, as Patrice mentioned, we're already pretty well developed, so our pattern's pretty well set. We're not going to see a lot of redevelopment or changes for new purposes. There's some things that will happen over time, but and also we're trying to educate people, as Patrice has mentioned, on how to do the right thing and be a little more proactive in information and ways to have a softer a shoreline rather than be too heavy-handed about that, so that over time people will be aware of what is the right thing to do for their property. And maybe it's just sometimes knowledge, just knowing what's a better way to plant the right materials or put in the right type of structure that is better, is more fish friendly and still accomplishes the same thing to protect their property. So
right.
Anyway, that's part of the program as well, and Amy's much more expert on that than I am. And
can
we'll
I ask
get into
question?
That later.
Is the language of the act quite definitive and not subject to a great deal of interpretation, or is it on the other end where DOE has a tremendous amount of, you know, interpretation of how it's to be determined, and if so, that would make it a lot harder, I would think.
Yes and yes.
Yeah. Well, yes means it's very clear. And
in some cases it is clear. In other cases, I think there's a lot of interpretation to be made.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So who makes the interpretation?
Well, ultimately, DOE has that authority, but, you know, we try to talk with them, meet with them, and get a sense of what they're looking for. But at the end, they're the ones that have to bless it. Maybe Patrice can add, or Amy can add something to that. But we're working with them, but they do have that legal authority under the statute to say it doesn't meet or does meet the guidelines. So.
When this is finished, do you anticipate this as being something like this?
Oh no, we're thinking.
or like, is it something that can be boiled down so succinctly that any homeowner or contractor could get this page and go, bullet points, okay, yeah, I can do this, I can't do that. I mean, what do you think?
If they can get through the zoning code, they'll be able to get through this. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I think our goal is to keep it as user-friendly and as lean as possible. And we've been working quite a bit. You'll notice there was this lapse of time. Last year we finished up the inventory and we had these public outreaches. And now some time has gone by before we're starting these study sessions. And the reason for that is that we've been working a lot with coordinating with other people, talking to ecology about how best to set this up to make it as lean as possible and easy to follow and everyone can use it. And that's still evolving in ecology's mind. And so it's taken some time to try to get to some answers. But I think we have a direction now. So we have an idea of the framework. And next month, we will come back to you with some actual things for decision making and so forth, or some for your responses on things. And we'll give you at that point the idea of how we might frame all of this and get your reaction to that. But the person with the Department of Ecology, his name is Joe Burkhar, who's assigned to Kirkland and Lake Forest Park and a couple of other communities. I think Issaquah. And he's been wonderful to work with so far and came and participated in our public outreach and asked me a couple days ago if we'd like him to come to any of these meetings. He's willing to do that. He's very personable, and he has been helping to course correct. If he feels like something's not going to pass muster, then he'll let us know. So that's great.
Yeah.
I think we're in good shape.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Has there been any thought to putting any incentives maybe into the zoning code that would tie into this for people that have the older bulkheads that are...
Yes. Like I said, one of the requirements is to not have net loss of the functions that are there. But another new requirement is to have a restoration plan as part of the Shoreline Master Program. But in these new guidelines that were negotiated for about 3 years before they were finally voted in by the legislature, the trade-off here was that the restoration plan is not to be required, but it is to be done with programs and incentives and city modeling and different things that to try to inspire and encourage that sort of rehabilitation of things.
So you have in front of you the final report that we prepared that summarizes the inventory that we did, as well as the analysis and characterization of the inventory material that we collected. And the guidelines that were finally agreed upon by Department of Ecology provide actually pretty good direction on what they want to see in this inventory and analysis report. It's probably the most well-defined piece of the entire thing, and then it progressively gets fuzzier. So, but this is pretty solid stuff. What it includes, in addition to information about biological issues such as habitat and shoreline armoring and those types of things, is more land use type categories, including impervious surfaces, zoning, different stormwater management, public access, water-oriented uses such as marinas and those types of things. So it tries to put together and summarize in map form and table form and narratives what the existing environment is like from the built side to the biological side. So, and for the most part, the guidelines have said that you need, all jurisdictions need to collect for their jurisdiction whatever is reasonably available, not requiring us to go out and collect, you know, gobs and gobs of detailed new data. But to the extent that a jurisdiction feels that, okay, this isn't available, but we really feel like it's important for us to collect it because it will actually help us develop our Shoreline Master Program, then to the extent you can, you do want to go ahead and collect that, although it's not specifically required. So in the city of Kirkland, we didn't have very detailed information about shoreline armoring conditions or numbers of piers and pier overwater cover. And those are very important parts, I think, of the future Shoreline Master Program, as that's a lot of the development. That's where a lot of the impact is. So we did a boat tour of the entire shoreline area, including Kirkland's potential annexation area. And we gathered information and mapped information on types of shoreline hardening, including, you know, vertical concrete bulkheads, distinguishing those from your boulder or riprap type bulkheads, and then finally kind of natural or semi-natural shoreline areas. We also counted the number of piers, and the city did a calculation and mapping of the amount of overwater cover associated with those piers, as well as the overwater condominiums and other uses. So that information will actually be very important later as we develop the SMP. And as you go through the document, you'll see that it's divided up into four major segments, which are used for discussion and analysis throughout. And the first segment, Segment A, is the potential annexation area. And we're not going to carry forward that particular element much further because King County is already farther along than we are in the development of its Shoreline Master Program, and so they're covering that area, and we'll want to work with them, of course, to make sure that there isn't a problem if that area should be annexed. Segment B is going to interest Houghton Community Council because it includes Yarrow Bay wetlands as well as Juanita Bay. We lumped those two as being the most high-value undisturbed areas in the city. And then Segment C is the residential area, which I think is also outside of Houghton Community Council, and then finally Segment D, I think, is entirely within your area of interest, and it's the more developed urban commercial areas with marinas and those sorts of uses as well. So as you go through the document, you can read specifically about Segments B and D, and I think that will give you most of what you're interested in terms of Houghton. After we summarize in tables and narratives and maps the inventory conditions in those segments, we try, per the WAC guidelines direction, to kind of set the city in the context of the entire lake, sort of give the landscape perspective and how the city fits into the overall conditions. And that can be found in I think it's Chapter 5, and discusses Lake Washington watershed as a whole, endangered species, and those sorts of things. And it also summarizes by segment what the condition is of each of Kirkland's segments on a kind of a holistic scale, and we rated them, you know, higher function to moderate and then finally to low function by segment, you know, understanding, of course, that within each segment there are, you know, great parks and other things that if you looked at them alone, you know, would have higher value than the segment as a whole. And we also used King County, as I said, is much farther along than we are. For their inventory, they prepared an extremely complicated mathematical GIS model that fed in a ton of data that they'd gathered for their entire county, and then what it spit out was a map that you can find at the end of your report that shows kind of in pixelated format what their model's determination of ecological function was. And so if you just kind of look at that and compare it to the city's analysis, and that's discussed in section 5.3, you'll just kind of see that the two gel fairly well. I mean, the King County's model compares each segment and each pixel, I guess, against the entire county, whereas our Kirkland analysis just compares and contrasts within Kirkland itself for the most part. So it's interesting. It's a nice check, but it probably wouldn't have served much utility in Kirkland adopting that wholesale and then trying to move forward and develop a master program from that. So as Patrice already mentioned, this report is required by the Department of Ecology to serve as the basis for all of the future steps that we're going to be undertaking. They require not just that you say that you used it, but they really want to see very specifically how the restoration plan, the Shoreline Master Program's policies and regs, and the cumulative impacts analysis all tie into this document. And so what we did is we had, you know, the public workshops, and at that point we had already had a draft of this report. So the public that came in and provided comments were addressing this inventory report and provided, although there weren't very many of them, they provided very good and feedback, and I think a good cross-section of interests were there among the 15, 20 people that showed up. And so we took all those comments very seriously and modified the document, you know, per their direction in terms of increasing discussion on aquatic invasive species, which was something that several people wanted to see more of, particularly as it affected Juanita Bay and the Yarrow Bay area. Several people were also interested in how stormwater fits into the whole picture, and so we increased our discussion of that as well. And we also wrote letters to each person who submitted a written or phone call, email, verbal comments that told them how we responded to their comments in our document. So I think to this point, they've been very engaged and very pleased with the final report and the level of interest and respect that we're giving their input. So I think that's a really good thing. We've started, and I guess we'll be presenting next time, to look at environment designations, which is another piece that's very strongly linked to the Shoreline Inventory Report. It's going to require, first, that the environment designations themselves, which are kind of like comp plan zones, only they're specific to the Shoreline Master Program, be consistent with the comp plan, but then it also requires that you take into consideration the biological conditions of those areas. So to the extent that you can, most of the environments are already fairly well established by the comp plan, and then you get into some, you know, a little bit more tug of war in the more biologically rich areas where there may be some inconsistencies. And the restoration plan has also begun, although it's got a fair piece to go. And as Patrice talked about, it's not a plan in the sense that we're going to have detailed design drawings and construction documents. It summarizes and pulls into one document all of the actions that are going on in the City of Kirkland's shoreline environment, or that affect the City of Kirkland's shoreline environment, from city codes like the critical areas regulations and stormwater planning to the activities of the WIRA 8 group, any environmental groups, Audubon Society, all of those players that are impacting and have the potential to impact the shoreline in a positive way. And it also will identify areas where maybe there's some gaps. Maybe the city could or should, you know, increase its public education component to shoreline property owners, which is something that one of the public participants had suggested. So we'll kind of look at what the city is doing and what other people are doing and what the city and other people could be doing to further ensure that when you're all done with this whole process, you end up with no net loss of ecological functions. And I guess the final piece is the cumulative impacts analysis, and that's probably the component of this whole process that has the least amount of direction. There are finally a few examples out there, and I think that when we get to that stage, we won't have any difficulties figuring out what we need to do, but it requires that we assess what the Shoreline Master Program, if it were fully implemented in Kirkland's shoreline, what it would look like. How would the baseline condition be affected? Are we going to end up with a net improvement over time when combined with the restoration plan, or are we going to end up seeing degradation in some areas? And depending on the outcome of the cumulative impacts analysis, you may need to go back a couple times to your shoreline master program and tweak it so that in the end you are clearly showing that you've met the no net loss criteria, and ideally that you actually have some benefit and improvement over time. I think that's all I have to say.
Does this mean that anybody who has had waterfront that they haven't chosen to develop, they've left it pretty natural, they're pretty much going to be not going to be in a position to do anything to modify it? Is that the case or not necessarily?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Shoreline Master Program is going to require that anybody who has ecological impacts has to mitigate those particular impacts.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to make sure that on a site scale that they're not degrading that area. But depending on the parcel that we're talking about, there's a lot that a property owner can do to develop a site and actually enhance the property as well and still obtain the use that they're looking for.
Okay.
The restoration plan doesn't require people to restore, but the SMP does require that you mitigate your actual ecological impacts.
Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, when I was reading this, three examples seem like pretty expensive if you were just $250,000 to...
Oh.
That's a lot of money.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
At least to me it is.
You don't live on the lake.
That particular project was an extremely large project, and they did... And this particular property owner, it's 200 feet of shoreline, and they just went all out with materials. They had a lot of steep slopes to deal with. There was a lot of cut and fill. They added a lot of amenities to their restoration, to the overall restoration cost, such as a fire pit and barbecue and outdoor shower that were thrown into the total cost that aren't related to the restoration per se. But what we're going to be encouraging people to do and what we're going to be presenting is the full suite of things that people can do to restore their property or to enhance their property. And you can do anything from, you know, just planting a few trees to just pulling your bulkhead back a foot if you're, you know, if you need to repair it, you know, maybe you could pull it back, maybe you could slope it back. So, I mean, there's a whole range of options besides what that particular property owner did, which was just go all the way in terms of restoring their shoreline.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
The pictures did look fabulous.
Oh, yeah. It's a gorgeous
That
really
little cable car
site.
Was cool.
Yeah.
Pardon?
The little cable car was cool.
Oh,
the
that's another site. Yeah.
Just get a zip line. Just
I'm wondering if we should commission a kayak tour for the Houghton Community Council to be observing the waterfront and getting a first-hand view. I remember when I was on the park board, we did that.
I got somebody suggested that for the Planning Commission, too.
Well, maybe we could do a combined thing with them, honestly. You know,
sure.
Really, it's the best way to really get an idea of what you're talking about is to see it firsthand.
I think so, too. We can, you know, also a good preview for the Lakeview Neighborhood Plan so you get a sense of what's out there. But,
right.
Yeah, we can try to set something up, and I think it's a great idea.
Bigger than a kayak, please.
Sure.
You just can't see it the same when you're in something like a motorboat. You got to get in there.
Well,
I would think that the vendors that we have in this, isn't there a kayak concession that we have up at Juanita?
I don't think anymore. Well, you may be right, Rick. I haven't seen lately, but I
would think you ought to be able to work something out with them in an off time when it's not their prime time, and just say, hey, you know.
Right. I think we'll probably get a boat, but I'd be happy to take you out on a kayak sometime, Rick.
Okay.
Do that. I was out there yesterday, in fact.
Were you?
Yeah. We went from Houghton Beach out to the 520 Bridge, and because it's closed. It was closed over the weekend. It was
right.
A real different view from that area with no traffic on 520.
But
yeah, we should do that sometime.
Yeah.
I have a tippy canoe.
I'd rather be in a kayak.
I think it'd be great. I'm not saying it in jest. I think it'd be a great way to get a perspective that we wouldn't otherwise have. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments? So, to be continued, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, as Patrice said, next time we'll be coming back to you at your August meeting and asking for some input on the designation. So we're going to try to feed that back to the Planning Commission. So the idea is to, I think Patrice has mentioned, probably once a month we'll be in front of you and the Planning Commission. Maybe there's some possibility of doing a joint meeting. I don't know, but we might want to think about if somebody's willing to move their night.
You don't have to do it twice.
Another time, you know. That's one thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, we'll lower ourselves and meet with them.
That's very, very thoughtful of you.
So by our next meeting, you want us to have read and memorized this?
Every word. Actually, it's really interesting. Yeah. You know, I found it fascinating. I think they did a great job for us.
It looks like a good report.
Good maps and good data, and it's going to serve us for a long time as
this
is our baseline.
Very impressive. Yeah.
Even this report was really good. It was really easy to read, really interesting, great pictures. And I made my son read the back half of it. I was like, it's interesting, just read it. nice job.
And I don't know if you had discovered that, I think I put the link into your report, but you can actually view the forums in their entirety online, streaming them if you want. And there is the way that, you know, you can jump around in it. You don't really have to sit there for the whole 2+ hours of it. And then the tour is, highlights of the tour are also available online.
Well, you were talking about the slideshow that you all had done for the public presentation and everything, and I was wondering if that might be something that maybe could be put on the TV station or something so that people, you know, because I think a lot of people just go to that TV station to see what's there, and so often it's just nothing.
We did actually broadcast it for some number of weeks, a month, and then we put it up for streaming anytime. And I also was interested in maybe having the best of moments, making like a 10 to 12 minute version of the slideshow, and ran up against some technical time challenges with our department that does those things. So, but we'll keep explaining. I think it'd be nice maybe for Amy to give that slideshow at some point here when we're looking at related topics.
Yeah. I think TV is still more accessible than trying to find something on the city website at this point.
Well, that's a good point. And now that we're back into public meetings, I think maybe we can get those broadcast some more. Thank you. Good suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you, both you ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrice always does a good job, and you did a very good job, too.
All right. Do we have any unfinished business that we're to be carrying? I wasn't aware of any.
I don't think so.
Or new business. Or administrative reports.
Well, I just want to, we are confirmed for August 20th. I know that was a different time. Laura, sorry, you can't. Maybe you can make that one, too. I don't
Who knows? It depends on what happens with the other meeting.
Right, so.
Well, so far it's looking like that one's gelling better than this one.
Okay. Did, so. Everybody's okay with that date? I think we got a for quorum. Okay, so, great.
I won't be here, but
I
knew that I couldn't be here either one of those dates in August. So.
Bill, you'll be running.
Bill's running the show.
Okay.
So be nice to him.
So that's all I wanted to make sure that the change in date there. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, unless anybody else has something compelling, meeting adjourned.